You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Today we debut for you the song Hedonic Treadmill from the album Demo from the band Cosmic Joke from the San Fernando Valley of California in the United States. Comparisons would be, I think everybody's going to go Bad Religion on some of these parts, mixed with a good dollop of hardcore, maybe even some fucking Pennywise in there for the heads. Give it a fucking listen now.
Ready in circles, ready in circles, ready in circles, going nowhere. Ready in circles, running in circles, running in circles, going nowhere fast. More money, new car, better money, new guitar. With your rape, what we sow, superficial happiness afterflows. Endless consumption, to spend when we die. Discontent with living, sometimes I live or die. I'm addicted.
Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
Fellas, I'm on headphones for the first time, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Welcome to the future.
Welcome to 1984.
Yeah, right.
You know when your aunt gives you shit that she doesn't want anymore? Do either of you have this phenomenon where your aunt will go, "How do you like this sweatshirt?" And you go, "It's all right." And she'll go, "I got it for cheap. It's yours." And you'll be like, "Oh, okay.
That's nice."
Yeah, it is. It is totally.
I don't have that relationship. I don't share many clothes with my aunt, but you know.
Well, I now share headphones. I share headphones with my aunt.
Tom, me and you, not sharing clothes with our
aunt. We don't fit in our aunt's clothes.
No, not so much. No, but you know what, guys?
Hit me.
I think it's time for us to buy some new clothes.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Let's go shopping. Shopping for new clothes. big thank you to our sponsors, To Live a Lie, Closed Casket Activities, and two of our favorites that we're going to discuss today, Death Wish Inc. and Run for Cover Records. Tom, where do we start?
I say we start with Run for Cover.
All right. Run for Cover Records. Everybody's going to go to runforcoverrecords.com. We're going to play a quick game. We like this. The gimmick thing is fun. Before we do, big shout out to Run for Cover for signing new artist Valley Palace. Had no idea what this was. Was like, all right, these are our homies. Let's listen. Checked out the single that was released, Friend, and was like, I was like transported to a warm, sunny day, like driving around. It was really nice. Did either of you get a chance to listen to the song yet?
Yes. Listen to the single. That's all that's up, right?
Yes.
It's exactly that music. It is terminally pleasant. You have to be in the space where you want to enjoy your life.
Yeah, this is enjoying life music. Like, you're working a shitty job, don't listen to this song. You're going to get ice cream, listen to this song.
Yeah, it's not mill music.
No. Tom, rainy day and you got to get on public transportation. Should you listen to this song or no?
No.
But if you're going to get pizza with some friends and then going to a show afterwards, should you listen to this song?
For sure.
Perfect. So everybody check out Valley Palace. Guys, do you know what it is? It is time to do the random merch game.
Ooh.
Patrick, it's your turn. Okay, we are going to – you just discussed sharing clothing with your aunt. Yep. So we're going to get you some new clothes. Apparel in general.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm doing – is this just all apparel? It sure is. Tom, pick a page between 1 and 9.
7.
Okay. Very good. And then I would like you to pick a row. 1 to 4.
2.
Okay. And then I want you to pick a number between 1 and 6.
5.
Oh, this is perfect. Patrick, you are getting the Tiger's Jaw Charmer shirt.
I'll wear it proudly.
Can you tell us one funny story about touring with Tiger's Jaw, because you've done it at least once and have played a good handful of shows with her with them over time?
Sure. Don't know if I told this story, but went out with Tiger's Jaw and a third band, and that third band, the one fellow who's now sober wasn't at the time. And first time in Europe, really living it up. And we're all sleeping at, for anybody that's toured Europe, you're familiar with this phenomenon. If you haven't, maybe you're not familiar with this. There's spots that are like crash pads that you can't explain because they're not hostels. They're not owned by, they're not necessarily owned by a venue, and they're not a squat. You have no idea what their function is, but there's like 11 bunk beds in them. And, you know, Europeans are kind enough to just say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the promoter worked it out. That's where you're staying. Okay, cool. We're staying at one of those spots. I want to say it's in like Liège or someplace like that, someplace where there was a lot of scab picking going on.
And, yeah, of course, Liège.
We have to drive super early. We got to get a ferry some godforsaken time. So everybody crash. You know, nobody's going out. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody go to bed. And we wake up with the member of the opening band's, he's just bloody. He's just a blood-covered John Wick mess. And I wake up to this. I wake up to people trying to dress his wounds in a kitchen, you know?
And
the reason was he just sat on the steps outside drinking. And it was a late night. And, you know, like other, you know how drunk people will just they just form coalition by virtue of being drunk, you know?
So, yes.
So a guy sits with them and says, oh, what are you drinking? They start smoking weed. They start talking or whatever. And then the guy who sat down has some previous street beef that follows him there. And then, so the guy that is our guy sees them, this escalate, screams, that's my friend, and gets into a beating. I won't call it a fist fight. He gets into a beating where I guess him and his new
with
friend.
With those scab pickers in Liège.
Yeah, I guess him and his new friend got it all over the face because it was not looking good. But here's the thing, and I'm happy that dude is a sweetheart of a human being, and I'm also happy for his sobriety. But I think being the level of hammered that he was a definite benefit here, because being like nose broken style fucked up didn't seem to slow him down at all. Got in the vehicle, got on that ferry, and was playing music that night. And I think that was outside of the typical Tiger's Jaw experience, and they in their own way found that kind of fun and entertaining.
So we're going to get this Tiger's Jaw Charmer shirt. We encourage you to too. Maybe we'll tie-dye this with a blood splatter for your story. Only one problem, Patrick.
Yes.
currently large is out of stock. Now here's the question.
Can we go medium or you go in XL? What brand?
I mean, you know, nice brand. It's run for cover.
Okay, I'll go medium. I'm going to say that I can stretch that shit out. I almost bought a medium the other day and thought, it's such a gamble now that I'm so
bold. You're a leadium at this point.
I am.
Yeah. Well, everybody go to runforcoverrecords.com, pick that shirt up. Tom, where do we go now?
Now we're going to our friends in Massachusetts, our other friends in Massachusetts, Death Wish Incorporated.
Go to deathwishing.com. Guys, did you hear about who Converge is touring with in early 2022?
Mm.
The Kings of Gent.
Yeah. Meshuggah. Meshuggah, Converge, and Torch.
A good gig.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, so
it's a really good gig, actually.
Playing Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. Ooh. Looking at where's the LA show? LA, they're playing Riverside. Ooh, wow, at the Municipal Auditorium. That's a big spot. Oh, and they're playing the Palladium. Wow, nice.
That's cool for them. Everybody, if you're just a fan of music, okay, I'm going to say something wild. If you are a fan of music, you could attend this show, sight unseen. You don't need to care about any of these bands. I can tell you they are all very good at what they do. So if you're not a Torch fan, which, by the way, we got to talk about Torch more, because there's so many of our listeners who would enjoy the shit out of Torch, but the window on Torch's sort of hype missed them for whatever reason. So we got to talk about Torch more. But the fact is, all of these bands are worth watching. You'd have a good evening.
All right. Tom, we are now in the Death Wish shirt section because, as noted, Patrick needs some new clothes.
Yeah, please.
Let's do this. A through M or N through Z?
I'm going to go A through M.
Okay. Give me a line between 1 and 20.
17.
Oh, man. 1, 2.
For Keith Hernandez.
5, 6, 7, 8, Riveting Radio, 9.
I like 10, it.
11, like Mike 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, guys.
3 and 4, 4 and 5.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Damn, Patrick, you're playing with house money today. You're lucky. Tom, between 1 and 4.
We're going to go 1. Fuck it.
This is perhaps the best random merch purchase that we've seen. The blacklisted black When People Grow, People Go logo t-shirt.
Woodwear.
I mean, clearly. You celebrate this album a lot. I think we all do and have talked about how underrated this record is. You know, it's funny because longtime listeners will hit us and be like, yo, you guys talk about this band a lot. You talk about this band a lot, blah, 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 blah. But then there's always new listeners. So, maybe you've never heard Blacklisted.
Do so.
They're almost inarguably, in my opinion, the best band from Philadelphia. There's going to be people who would argue and go, well, what about Ink and Dagger? What about All Else Failed? What about Broad Region Shark Attack? What about whatever? There's lots of favorites. So even if that's your thing, Blacklisted is probably the most important band from Philadelphia. Full stop. Music. I'm saying that. How about that? So go check out When People Grow, People Go. Get this shirt. Solid. I really like the back of it. Simple. It'll make you look good. It's kind of like sophisticated. People are going to ask you about it, but it's like a good ask. So go to deathwishinc.com, pick up that shirt, support all our sponsors, let them know we sent you. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
$1 million.
Tom, how you doing today?
I'm doing better than Pat today.
Oh, wow, you're $2 million?
Well, you did share the stolen salsa incident pre-recording, so that's kind of rough.
I'm going through a stomach thing at the moment, so that's a downer. But otherwise, I took a train day trip to San Diego just to get...
just to get away.
I went from... I arrived at about noon, stayed till about 8. And went to my favorite restaurant, which, by the way, shout out to the dude, I think his name's Dylan, who recognized me in Ocean Beach and pulls his car around after yelling, yo, is that Patrick? And then pulls his car into a parking lot. I go, yeah, man, how are you? He goes, I saw that gray hair. I knew it was you. And I was
like,
I felt so old. I felt so fucking old. That's how I'm recognizable now. It used to be, I saw your neck or whatever, you know what I mean? But now it's just like, yo.
Nobody gets old. Nobody gets gray in San Diego. So
no, apparently we don't.
Man. Yo, shout out your favorite restaurant.
Oh, that's Zips. the Ocean Beach People's Organic Food Market / I call it the food co-op. They have an upstairs, bulk or by weight sort of area that you encounter at co-ops where they just shovel food onto a plate. You tell them how much you want. That is my preferred dining experience. I also just, I love everything about it. If you sit outside long enough, there is a flock of parrots that hangs around in Ocean Beach, and they will come into the palm trees nearby. Parrots, by the way, just a total novelty for us. I'm sure if you live in fucking Brazil, they're annoying because they're very loud birds. But
yes,
they are, to me, they're just such a beautiful thing. By the way, not native to San Diego at all, but they're getting on just fine.
And they, like all us, find San Diego to be pleasant and calm.
Pleasant and calm. And then you walk from there to the dog beach. It's a perfect day, which I did. Might do it twice more before my I'm either going to go up to Santa Barbara. I have all these credits on the train still, so I might go up to Santa Barbara. I was going to go to Indio. However, the train would let me off at like 7 p.m. So then I would.
You'd have to overnight somewhere.
I would have to overnight somewhere which, by the way.
Go camping in Indio.
I think you'd be surprised how unreasonable everything is in Indio.
No. It's hot. Yeah, it's hot. Everybody hot in the like cool way. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. Santa Barbara, not that reasonable either, but you can find, spots that are, here's a $62, you sleep inside a van for the night sort of thing.
You can crash on the beach down there. I mean, you might get stabbed, but.
You know what? Whatever. Why not?
I was hoping to see you in the backgrounds of Eric's Yosemite trip.
No, that's with his folks. Otherwise, I would go. I thought about just hopping on the train with him to Barstow I would stop at Barstow, just hang out at Barstow, which I like all these shit pit fucking inland California hellholes. I think that they've got a certain charm. So
they just remind you of the Northeast.
They kind of do. There's a serious Rust Belt
desperation
sort of phenomenon. Yeah. all right. That's how my life is going.
Tom. Yes. Yep. Yeah, we're all good. Tom, and we'll get to Tom. Today, you brought up to Patrick a serious grievance in the group chat that went unanswered.
I know.
We should
get myself all cranked up about it. Cause...
Well, so Patrick, as per usual, is a poor promoter.
That's a fact.
He wants
promotes other people's stuff, though.
I'm more comfortable with that.
Yeah. You would think John Guzman makes him thousands of dollars a month.
I do promote. I'm a burger head. I do promote.
Shout out Cauldron of Burgers. Follow Cauldron of Burgers on all the social media platforms.
Shout out all the bands. But yes. Once in a while, if you want to throw up, hey, I do this podcast. Because I think he promotes Worst Possible Timeline more. When he does it all, it's Worst Possible Timeline. We'll never see an Axe to Grind retweet, an Axe to Grind post to the story. I check.
I'm a fucking lunatic. I check.
And I want to, I want to always have that rage of like feeling mistreated.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
So I go, oh, cool. Like we're talking about, talking about the podcast. We want to keep,
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's going fresh. You want to fucking,
keep the train on the tracks. Keep pushing forward. New
this
things.
This fucking loser's got 10,000 people following him. Doesn't mention the fucking podcast at all.
I know.
When I am tagged in things, I tend to retweet.
See how he swings the blame stick around. Interesting. Okay. I guess
as if
I should just tag Patrick and Everything. Every repost. Thing. Okay. All right. We got you.
Every last one. Like,
all right.
You know, One Step Closer is going on tour with Comeback Kid. Boom. Hey, Pat Kinlan in it.
Yeah. We'll see if he throws it up.
For Gramps. Yo. So he can just fucking hit a button.
Okay. So you know my level of like not promoting things. I currently have my career is I have to promote this comic book, right? So for people
which that, do so right now.
Okay, so Frontiersman is available from Image Comics in September. That means that if you want to benefit my life in any way, you would call your shop and pre-order it today.
And if you're not, if you're not like you don't have a regular comic shop you go to, go into one local to you. Say, hey, I want to get this comic book by this guy, Patrick Kinlan. It's called The Frontiersman. It's coming out on Image in September. They'll go, oh, yeah, okay, cool. We can get that in. We're going to get some copies. Cool. Could you get me one? Sure. What's your name? Boom, boom, boom. All easy. Then you go pick it up in September. No big deal.
Exactly right. And nobody's going to think you're weird for this phone call.
That's the way it works.
That's literally the way it works. So comics are a very broken system, but basically if you waited to pick it up on the shelves, you would be doing a third of the benefit to my life as if you called and pre-ordered it. I should be pushing this harder to people that know me from music because it is the one place where people understand pre-orders. Although I guess the idea of a brick and mortar retail spot being the center for your pre-order is a little different for a lot of people. Whatever. Point is, call your local retailer. I have a comic coming out from the third biggest publisher. It's for my career, it's the biggest thing that I've done thus far. And I'm also incredibly proud of the work. Even if you don't like me very much, I think that there will be something in it for you. The art by Marco Ferrari is very beautiful.
Axel Grind's offering money back guarantees on it.
Oh, so. All right.
There we go. It comes out of Patrick. So, if you want to really stick it to him, here we go. So Patrick's going to work on his promotion.
Yeah.
Did you finish your Kerrang thing or whatever the hell it was?
I did.
Did you do the thing that I suggested, which shout out to our buddy Ian. Patrick asked for small, newer bands. And I was like, oh, I'll give him some ideas. And I said, you know, it'd be really funny if you just mentioned, you know, this like local opener who you saw one time, you know, nobody really talks about. They're called Military Gun, something like that.
They came up, but I didn't troll very hard. I there was a lot of tangential to Military Gun shout outs on this one.
Okay. All right. We're going to get into the meat of the episode very shortly. This is a Record Club episode, guys. It's been a minute. I'm excited about it.
Are you?
We have surprises, so it's cool. It's one of those. But before we do, want to quick hit you both. News came down that vinyl orders going in right now are now pushing out as far as 10 to 14 months. How do we feel about that?
I say fuck record store day.
Yeah,
the machines are so expensive. You can't even buy one.
This is not good for my bands. You know, so here's the deal, everybody. You don't want to take a pre-order too far in advance because, as anybody who runs a mail order business will tell you, there are the people that email you the day after they make an order and then just never stop emailing you. And that's really bad if your pre-order is pushed to, oops, it's now 6 months out and you pre-ordered and there's somebody who is so invested in that $30 that they are now your stalker.
Pat, I don't know if just as part of this.
Please.
And I thought this is a smart idea, which I don't know if I've ever seen before, or it was the first time I've interacted with it. I bought that Discord box set.
Mm. Ooh.
Like the first, what is it, first 4 years or whatever the
first
fuck.
First 6-7 inches, yeah.
First 6-7 inches. And they had a checkbox that you had to endorse like saying, like, I understand that this is a pre-order. and kind of like, it will not ship out anytime before whatever it was.
Really
October
smart.
Of 2021.
Yep.
And like, you literally couldn't proceed with, I mean, not that like people are going to email fucking.
I was going to say, Tom, here's the deal. Our friends who run labels are listening to this right now going, cut it down. It cut it down by one tenth. You know, like the pain is still there. Yeah.
I mean, or people that do shirts or people, it's like, a pre-order is not like, they're not, yeah, people don't understand that like a pre-order means like you order it, then they make it most of the time.
Also, just separate yourself from that $30. Just consider that $30 in the ether. Don't consider it. You know,
gone into the wind.
And if you need it that badly, you probably don't need a fucking drug charge.
That's a fact. Yeah. So I don't like that because here's a little scoop. Drug Church actually has an LP coming out. Yeah, you know, like sooner than you'd think, given the fact that we just put out an EP. But we're all scared to announce it anytime soon because who knows what we're going to get pushed back to at the plant. So it is a bit frustrating because we got that Citizen tour, which thank you, everybody. Venues are getting upgraded in a few places because you are buying tickets. Citizen, very popular band, it seems. And that tour will be really fun. But it would be even funner if we had vinyl. Actually, it would be wicked fun if we had vinyl. But I do not think that is physically possible.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. Everybody, just hold your horses. When the vinyl starts coming in, it's just going to feel magical in your mailbox. Like that's just cool. Drug Church new LP is a good way to slide into the record club listening party that we're doing today. This one took a while. Guys, what if I told you a vinyl version of the record that we're discussing today that I believe I still own has a median selling price on Discogs of $826.
Holy shit.
And the highest priced version, which is the clear vinyl out of $155. The highest priced is sold at $2,500. Mm. Now the lowest is $500, but all of that feels crazy. Would that surprise you?
And you'd be overpaying by about $2,490.
Yeah, I'm going to Google to see what the most anybody's paid for Petrified Shit has been, and we'll see. We'll compare these two things.
All right. So today we are talking about the record The Decline by the band NoFX. This was my pick because I really like this record. Have had it since when it came out in 1999. It is the last NoFX record I bought. I believe it is the best NoFX record by a considerable
Jesus
measure. And yeah, so let's start first. What are you guys' experience? Tom, what was your experience with this? Had you ever heard it before you did for this listening?
No. I'm not.
And your experience with NoFX?
I actually like Punk and Drublic.
Yep.
And that's literally it.
So for me, and I think we've talked about this, for me it's NoFX, Punk and Drublic, and The Decline. There's some people who are like, oh yeah, but what about White Trash? Nope, don't like that one. What about The Longest Line or what? Nope. Don't like any of them. I just like Punk and Drublic and this record. So, this is your first time hearing it?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. One funny Patrick? Thing that I did want to bring up.
Please.
Patrick has a song called Weed Pin.
Mm,
it's a veritable hit. Hit of 2018.
Sure. Yeah. A million stream song.
Mm.
Has more listens than this record.
Oh, wow.
By like a couple hundred thousand.
Wow, really? All right.
I mean, Fat Mike owns a house.
Yeah, so yeah, I know. I got to call
my, he owns a couple, actually.
Got to call my business manager. okay. I just took a note of that, Tom. That's interesting. although he – listen, everybody.
I have a feeling he might have sold 30,000 copies of this on CD, if not more.
Yes, correct. So everybody, if you are in your 20s, this might be totally lost on you. The CD era made millionaires, just left, right, and center. And the feeding frenzy that went on after, what's the terrible fucking Offspring record?
Smash.
Smash. The feeding frenzy all around that, where shout out to Epitaph, by the way, for like breaking through a major barrier and kind of like, no matter how you feel about Epitaph, they broke through a barrier in such a way that the small labels after that had greater access to you. That doesn't matter nearly as much in the streaming era, I would guess, but it was significant. So at any rate, there was a feeding frenzy around acts. Because there was just people selling so much fucking CDs costing so little to make, that people were making so much goddamn money, Fat Mike included. So yeah, I guess I'll just continue hating Fat Mike then. Fuck it.
Patrick, what is your experience with NoFX?
I don't have any, really. I remember they've been in trouble for most of my life. So, you know, like they, when Fat Mike tricked people into drinking piss, people didn't like that one. he made Las Vegas mad when he made an insensitive joke too close to the
Tom, you like Patrick pretending like he's only been alive for the last 18 years or something?
Right, he's like not aware of anything before 2018.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think people. When you used to have a problem with a band, you just wrote about it in a fanzine, and I'm trying to make a reference here, but it didn't have this harm attached to it that it does in the social media age, right? So
yeah,
all the shit that he might have gotten yelled at for 20 years prior basically didn't matter. It's just mulligan after mulligan until. Oh, hey, it's the social media age. We're going to tag all the venues, you know, and they're gutless as fuck. So they're just going to be like, oh, no, this person that was going to pay $36 for a NoFX show definitely won't come to see any shows. They're political now. Now, venues make decisions based on what you think is morally right. But I assure you that your people are going to come to your venue. But it is a. It is a different moment. So I don't even remember what the fuck Mike was in trouble before that. I don't, you know, whatever.
I mean, just being an idiot probably. So, you hadn't heard, have you ever heard, or have you ever put on yourself a NoFX record, besides this one for this exercise?
No, I don't think. I think he's not a listener of this podcast, but he's a longtime friend who thinks that Mike's Cokie the Clown alter ego is actually the real probing look into Mike. And and has made me listen to, I guess there's like Cokie records, I don't know, but I had to listen to some shit where like, I guess Mike does get kind of deep. Why am I referring to this guy by his fucking first name? I don't even Come like on, this man. Person. Yeah, I hate this.
This is some fucking sports commentary.
What's his government name? I hate this fucking guy.
Oh yeah, we can pull that up. Mike, this is a good question.
I'm going to say like DeContesto or some shit.
Yo, So you've never heard Punk and Drublick?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You've heard the Shiloh cover of a song?
I have, yes, that's true.
Yeah, about Linoleum. Yes. I wonder, you don't like the song Linoleum. Let's see here.
I like the cover, all right.
His name is Mike Burkett.
Makes me sick.
I think. So anyways. Yes,
that's definitely it.
Okay, so what'd you guys think of this record?
I feel like you trolled us.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, oh, you want to make me listen to VOD? Here you go.
okay. It's, Tom, let's walk through it. First listen, sure. I enjoyed not one moment of it.
Not one moment?
No, hold on. I'm building towards it. I just want to get Tom's feedback on. Tom, did you have that same experience, or did you enjoy some of it?
I enjoyed very, very limited parts of it.
Okay. So on my first listen, I enjoyed nothing about it, and I resented Bob. Second listen, I was sick to my stomach. I was like, I hate that this exists. This is an artifact of evil. I wish that I could cast it into the fucking flames of Mordor. I hate this. Right. And then third listen, which was today on my walk to Sprouts, I intentionally looked for anything that could resonate because I know that a podcast where I get on it and I go, sucks, is not that entertaining. So
no,
I went looking for any part of it.
Uh-huh.
And I will say that when they are a boring hardcore band, I like them.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
I'm so, just going to let that sit there for a second.
So there are portions of this song, which we should explain the song, right?
So it's this is a 20 minute, just under 20 minutes, 18 yeah. minute song. And yep. It is let's read here. We might as well just read it. Largely a satire of American politics and law with an overwhelming concern for blind behaviors of the masses, such as complacency, indifference, gun violence, drug use, and conformity, as well as destruction of constitutional rights and condemnation of the religious right. I'm reading from Wikipedia.
I'm mad now.
Trombone is played by Lars Nylander of Skank and Pickle.
Jesus Christ, I don't give a fuck. Why does this...
That was one of the only cool parts.
Listen, the fact... Here's the deal. I was asked today in this thing for about the smaller bands and all this, like, oh, do you still listen to hardcore primarily? And I was like, damn, I guess I do, right?
Just boring hardcore bands like NoFX.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess I do. Damn. And I was thinking about how much I still like, you can catch me, you know, like you can catch me with some like corny ass line that is tired and doesn't, I know you won't even mean in 3 years. You can skip me. This was the least insightful pile of shit I've ever. He's literally just singing like, you know, and war, we're going back. Like, it's so bad. There's nothing.
You saying you think the lyrics are bad?
You'd have to be not. So,
you're crazy.
Listen. Eric listened to this the other day because I got him started on it, and he said he knew the lyrics, and secondly, yes. he listened and he said, you know, it gives me a good feeling because it reminds me of being 14, but I did not have this experience when I was 14, and I literally think that this is this is not age appropriate for a 14-year-old. You'd have to be 11. Developmentally, you would have to be prepubescent. Oh,
I think you're so far off from that because I think you dislike this band so much that I think lyrically, this is so much superior to a lot of this. Like to me, this is way more interesting than any Earth Crisis song I've ever heard. And I'm not picking Earth Crisis because like, oh, Earth Crisis. I'm picking them because they're a band who has lyrical content that you are zeroed in on.
Wait,
right?
Lyrically, you think that? Because if you said this is more interesting than an Earth Crisis song, I would say, yeah, it is.
Musically, I think that's the hard part, is that it's long, so I could see someone be like, oh, it's a 20-minute punk song. Like, what the fuck do I need with this? But the music's beyond competent. These dudes are obviously clearly good players.
That was one of my notes.
Thank you, Dom. But lyrically, like, and perhaps it's because I'm judging it more against NoFX lyrics than I am against, I don't know, fucking Crucifix lyrics. But I think this is pretty good lyrically. I think this is
some of their best lyrics.
Yeah. Like, I think it's, and I think it actually touches on topics that are unique to the space and resonate on a longer level. Now, is it age appropriate? Who knows? None of this music's really age appropriate, dude.
No, like, but it's like,
you know, like there's no lyrics that are age appropriate. Like, you know, like,
but this is like
age appropriate lyrics should be like, how's my health care? Yeah, do I have a mortgage? Is my rent paid? You know what I mean?
This was like the Wiggles. You know what I mean?
No,
like
that's crazy.
This was Blues Clues set.
I don't think so.
fucking California punk. It was
anthropomorphic something or another.
Yes. Give me anthropomorphism.
No. I think
it's anthropocentric, but yes.
Yeah, there we go. I'm more in anthropomorphism. I think this is by far the best NoFX lyrical content song. All right, we've got most of Patrick's take. He did say he had NoFX hot take. Tom, let me hear your, because you thought you were like, you're trolling us. So
yeah, I mean, this was I listened to this probably like four times.
Yep.
Over the in the course of the last like week or so, it's an endeavor.
Yeah.
I found it a little tough to get through. One thing. All right. So we had mentioned before, the band shreds.
Yes.
Drummer's insane. The two guitar players are fantastic. Here's my hot take.
Let's hear it.
I think I'd actually like NoFX without Fat Mike.
It would help.
So that's my big comment. You keep going. Yeah.
Like if Hefe sang, I'd probably enjoy this a lot more because he's like a super talented singer.
So I wanted to ask you, is NoFX one of those, hey, you're either in on the vocals or you're out?
Yes. Yeah. And I think,
Patrick, that's weird. Do you know any bands that are like that?
Here's the deal, though. I'm never mad at somebody for being out on me. I never.
Of course. And I don't think this dude is either. And I would never be mad at someone. I think this is the ultimate, like, there's bands where I'm out on vocals where like 85 to 90% of the people are like, I love this band. I love these vocals. So I get it. If a vocalist and this dude's vocals are nasally, and Tom, I had the exact same thought. I'm like, this dude's vocals will throw someone right off this record.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, and this is like kind of a prejudicial.
Sure.
But I think like when I hear this, I think of like, dirty punks at like a fucking Warped Tour that smell like butt.
Yeah, well, that's not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I mean? Like not in a like, and I kind of go fucking posers, man. You listen to fucking, you know, like I hate Fat Records.
Sure.
Like I hate fucking Guttermouth. I hate fucking Leg. I don't like, I have nothing, no love for any of this. And I feel like NoFX was like, you know, the head of the table. And to me, if I needed are. Like, dude who shred, who sound almost exactly like this. This is a band called Propagandhi.
So,
and I would listen to that instead.
So actually,
Patrick, you love Propagandhi.
I like some Propagandhi, and the I don't know what you'd call them. It's if you were being lazy, you'd say dual vocals. But like within this, there is some like call and response light,
yes,
sort of material. Like I wouldn't call it pure call and responses. I don't know how to frame it exactly, but it's that
like rounds.
Yeah,
like,
they are a little bit.
Yeah, there's a back and forth to it. Yes,
and I
like the old gray mashy.
Yeah,
Like yeah, you get.
So I love that, and I think that works here too. But you know, and I also like the first 25 seconds that are just a hardcore song. But yeah, that's we tapping out after that. But the Propagandhi like element of that type, you know, like I really like that type of vocal exchange. That, you know what, it's almost like in rap, it's almost like an ad lib. It is it's simply to add emphasis to to the last lyric with a very short answer lyric. I like all that. I think that works here, but that's all that works.
Tom, yes. Do you think the lyrics here frame the other NoFX lyrics in a way that goes, hey, so like, what were you doing there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other songs are about, like, you know, people they knew or, like, dudes that drank too much.
Yeah, like, literally, like, sticking your thumb up your butt level, right, style. Like
the bruise.
Yes. Jesus. I mean, yo, Linoleum's probably my favorite other NoFX song. Right. It's about, like, nothing. What? It's literally gibberish.
Sleeping on your friend's living, like, kitchen floor or something? Yeah. I don't know.
It's literally gibberish. It's just fucking stupid.
It's very catchy.
Super catchy.
All right, here's my take.
Yes.
And Pat, we got the title for the – I wrote this down listening to it. We got the title for the episode.
Please.
This is Dope Smoker for people who like cocaine.
Okay. Okay.
Coke Smoker.
I would say it's – I mean, this is more of a huffing gas sort of thing to me. This is – look, I thought about this a lot today. I thought about how – there's bands that shit on other bands, right?
And yes, you.
Well, yeah. In the past. And I was thinking about how counterintuitive it actually is, because if you're like a snobby musician of some type, right?
Right. I don't know.
The person who likes your band, there's a good chance they actually do like the band you're making fun of. And this idea, for example, okay, my father was incarcerated. We talked about it on the show that whenever he's talking about somebody that he was locked up with, that's a total fucking knucklehead, he'll then go, it's worth noting I was there with him. You know what I mean? Which is the type of self-awareness that you want from somebody when,
right. You can be like, I play these same festivals along Fat Mike.
Correct. Fat Mike. And that's the thing. Like,
I can't wait for him to step to you wearing a kilt.
Oh, I'm actually in I forgot. I'm in a NoFX video. Fuck.
Are you? Which
what
video?
What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. Fuck. Right. This dude's part of the NoFX scene, Tom. Like, you're talking about the Stinky Warped Tour punks. That's him.
But listen, I don't remember consenting to being in the video, but Bob, would you?
Well, you were where they were.
Wait a minute, so. Dad. Did you actually say freedom? Well, if you're dumb enough to vote, you're fucking dumb enough to believe them. These lyrics are brilliant.
Yeah. We
gotta be careful when you start dismissing. Come on. Jesus Christ.
To all right. Foreign interests. That's I'm just freestyling now.
Is that for you doing the call and response thing with propaganda?
Yeah. So listen, yeah, I take it back. Fat Mike, you're lit. Thank you for the shout out.
on a very real question, Tom.
Yeah.
Let's say this. What is the amount of people who like Indecision who like NoFX? Like, what's the crossover? Are we
like a percentage?
Yeah, like, would you say 20? Like, one out of five?
Maybe
one out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the crossover for Drug Church fans? Now, you know what? Actually, let me be fair. It's 2021.
Exactly.
So, what's the crossover? One in 20. So, in 2021, Tom, it might be one out of 50 for Indecision and NoFX fans.
Yeah. But I mean, also think like Pat does play like punk rock bowling.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. That might as well be the decline.
There's
fucking
a lot
musical.
Of people out there that are like waiting at that stage for fucking gutter mouth or whatever the fuck.
So for me, this record came out in 99. I was 17. I like this record a lot. I actually think it holds up really well. As discussed with some other people of my age, this is the last NoFX thing I ever really heard. I think I was exposed to stuff after this, but like, it was all so cringy and bad. Like, here's the deal.
Now, why is that? Like, so you love this record so much.
I really like it.
Next
yeah.
Next record, you're like, yeah, this is garb. Or like, did you just like garb. Run something else and you never gave it?
No. So the next record, one had an awful cover. Pump Up the Volume. It's like,
oh, is that like a? It's like a.
Looks like a. It's not Claymation, but it looks right, like Claymation, something like that. Yeah, yeah. Just stupid, with songs like "What's the Matter with Parents Today," "Dinosaurs Will Die," "Total Bummer," "My Vagina," "Hero Wanna." Which I just gave. Patrick's scribbling those down quickly for Drug Church record titles.
You know what? I'm back on the train. It's fine.
Yeah, you and Cokie the Clown. But that's it. I'm not a self-professed NoFX fan. If somebody's like, "Oh, do you like NoFX?" Tom, I think I have the same answer as you, which is like, not really. I like Punk and Drublick a fair amount. If someone gave me a free NoFX shirt, would I wear it? No. Like, that's true for most bands, but like even then it was like, I like Punk and Drublick. I didn't like the other canonical records of theirs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even like their early material, like the like fucking the Mystic Records stuff. Like, yeah. I don't like it. S&M Airlines, Ribbed, none of that stuff touches, like, I'm not into it. I don't like it. But I liked Punk and Drublick, and I liked The Decline. And so The Decline, it was just kind of one of these things where it's like, oh, what's this weird record at the record store? And really enjoyed it. I don't know, like, it's odd and almost singular in that way. So I don't really, it's a hard one. But I was very curious. Patrick, you said you had a hot take about NoFX the other day.
I think the big reveal is out. I was going to pretend to be completely, I was going to stretch my dislike for this as long as possible and give people the impression that maybe he likes it. I don't know.
Oh, and you were going to try to hide it.
I was going to try to hide it. But the big reveal here is that, now I feel bad because I'm in a NoFX video, even though I didn't consent to being in it. And I do have some respect for these men being like talented players, but I could make a list starting now about all the things that I'd rather have happen to me than listen to this again. And they definitely include at least breaking my leg.
Okay. What about being in another Avril Lavigne video?
I would do that for free right now.
Okay.
Although look, you're putting me in a position now. Making me talk about Avril.
Well, you know, I don't know where Avril's at in her life right now.
She just made she made her first TikTok with Tony Hawk.
It was really bad.
It was really bad.
It was like, I think she's younger than us, but she is coming off as 10 to 15 years older.
That's correct.
She's so...
It's like when Madonna was in her kind of like confused period.
Yeah, she's a couple years younger. Wow. What about she was married to Chad Kroeger?
That was a weird time for all of us.
And wasn't she married to the dude from Sum 41?
She was before Chad Kroeger.
And she used to hang out with Ben Cook.
She did. That's right.
The No Warning dudes.
That's correct. And they also hung out with Paris Hilton, which is interesting. It's weird world. Yeah. So this said, NoFX, Tom, will you ever listen to this again?
Only in your car.
Patrick, will you ever listen to this again?
Is it like a Saw movie?
You want to play a game?
Yo, you probably have more friends with NoFX tattoos than anyone.
100%. I just sold like 100 fucking work shirts. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking...
Yo, Mac Miller is going to smack the shit out of you.
When I texted Mac, I was like, yo, what are your feelings on The Decline? He said, come on, and just sent me a picture of his NoFX tattoo.
I straight up don't understand.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on The Corner of Gray Street.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Mo, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to the show on the road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
What are you saying?
I wonder if I would like this more if it was broken up.
I was going to ask that. What do you think?
I don't know. There are no clear delineations, though.
Yeah.
Like, there are some parts that are like that it just, like, stops.
Yep. But it is a pretty steady stream, you know?
And there's a lot of, like threads that go through it.
Yep.
I actually, if I had to pick anything, I like the last, like, probably 3 minutes of the song.
Okay.
Interesting.
Horns kicking in. Like, the trail out. Yeah, the horns kicking in. It gets very epic.
Yeah. I didn't, that was by far the best part to me.
Well, I have someone in the room with us who's joined us today to discuss this record, and I wanted us to talk about it for a while first. Welcome to Axe to Grind, Mike Lawson.
Wow. Oh, Mike Lawson. Wow. The legend.
Mike, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is your computer connecting via AOL, like landline?
Mike's calling us from the car.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, it sounds like he's in, like he's a cam girl. You know what I mean? We're getting a little token noise.
What's going on with it?
You just had some funny noises for a second, and it's yeah, it's okay. We inserted some more tokens so you can stick on with us.
Alrighty,
Mike. I need to ask you a question about NOFX, The Decline.
I'm the man for such a question.
One, how many ska-related tattoos do you have?
Zero currently in my life. One.
Is it covered up? One.
It is. It's been covered up for an extremely long time.
Weak. Damn, man. So he had a good checker pattern tattoo.
Good?
No. I mean, not good to me. I mean, I think it's a good tattoo. What do you think of NOFX, The Decline?
Masterpiece.
Of what?
The only NOFX track that's necessary.
Yo, I think I would agree. And I like Punk and Drublic. Do you like other NOFX material, Mike?
I would say from 92 to 2000, they only released good albums.
Wow.
Jesus.
See, he likes them more than me.
Like from White Trash to Pump Up the Volume.
Okay.
Good albums.
See, I stop so hard at The Decline, and I only like Punk and Drublic. Only. Is that weird? Like, Tom is with me on the Punk and Drublic thing, but like, are we unique?
You guys have mentioned this many times, which I find so crazy because I feel like this, the NOFX is so far afield from like the Axe to Grind Target demo.
Yep.
That is crazy to me, but I think Punk and Drublic is the standard NOFX album.
Okay.
But I think The Decline embodies everything. The peak NOFX. If you like NOFX at all, The Decline is what you need and the only thing you need.
You don't think it's perhaps a bit ambitious to start with the 20-minute song?
That's true. But it's pieced together so well. I mean, I don't think they did that well arranging it that it's not a challenge to get through.
Okay. So I found this record, this is the reveal to you, Mike Lawson. I found this record painful, but that part I will agree with that. No, to me, no one part is particularly more terrible than any other part. There's parts that I like slightly more, but you're not technically wrong that this is not it's stitched together.
Like you can't deny Patrick. Yeah. This, the flow for a 20-minute ish song, it flows well.
And listen, it felt like I was going through the pain of listening to a regular length NOFX song.
I think if you broke it up, it wouldn't work either. Like, it only works because it's a 20-minute song. Like, if there's clear sections that are separate from the others, but today I was trying to listen to it and thinking of where you could break it up, and it wouldn't work. It would be just bad songs, bad riffs, like, that just don't fit together at all.
Because so Tom was actually just bringing this up, thinking about, like, would he like it better if it wasn't a one song, like one track? So 18 minutes, that's like what? Like, on an average No Effects record, 18 minutes is probably getting you seven songs, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I seem to probably 3 minute,
2.5, 3 minute, 3 minute yeah. and a half, you know, something like that. I don't know. I don't think it's possible to break it up unless there's certainly separate ideas in some of the, like, movements of the fucking record, like, to talk about a No Effects record, like, it's classical music. But it would be hard to parse it, you know, because I think some of the transitions are so important to, like, the drama of the song, if that makes sense.
It is. I mean, it's clever. I think all of the transitions are very cleverly done. They do a couple just stops where there's just noise and whatnot, but for the most part, it is pieced together very smartly, which is silly to think of, like, No Effects doing something clever, not just throwing out a 3 minute song that they've got this formula down for 20 years. But I think it's clear listening to that they were just flexing. Like, we're going to put together this, arrange this smart song and just show off our musicianship and how, cause that song also, they're playing really well. Like, yeah. Fat Mike,
yeah,
is just like showing off the entire track. Like, if you listen to the actual musicianship, they're really good. It's peak.
I think it is peak performance. Records. Yeah, peak performance, yeah, of this world.
And Mike's right. Like, there's no, it's not like there's no, there aren't four or five, like, starting riffs in the song. No.
Right.
So it wasn't like they tethered together four or five. Like, this was obviously written with this in mind. Like, there's no, like, all right, you stop here and then you start with this part because this would be an opening riff to a song. That doesn't really exist in this. But, I mean, they do shred. I also, you know, I don't know if you guys ever listened to it. There's a live record of this.
Yes.
I missed it.
Like, your sarcasm. The orchestra. But it's actually, it's impressive to hear this played through. I listened to that once.
Is Mike Lawson playing video poker?
Man, I borrowed my sister's computer. Shout out April Lawson.
Shout out April. Mike did the work to get on the podcast. Didn't even really make us do some wacky shit.
They were asking me what I needed it for. I said, mind your damn business.
Good attitude.
Yo, the way. Mike, would you introduce... All right. Would you... Because you said this. I want to break your question out. No Effects, far field from the average Axel Grind listener. True. What would be your starting point for No Effects if you were trying to introduce them to the average Axe to Grind listener?
I think you could play this because it's different. It's not so. I think if you, the stereotypical Epitaph Fat Records sound genre of this 90s, I think this stands out because, like, Punk and Drublic. It's goofy. They're silly. Like, yes. The lyrics are, I mean, we all know what it is. It's they're just goofball songs. And in 2021, that doesn't hold up, but I don't think this is the case at all for this one.
Well, that's
just the equivalent of, like, being like, oh, you got to watch this video. And then handing your phone to a YouTube clip to your friend for 6 minutes. And then sitting there watching, like, it's good, right?
So you got it. So you're saying you got to say, look, if you're going to check this out, you got to strap in.
Yeah, it's definitely homework for someone that isn't already initiated.
Okay, so we talked about this, the Fat Records, and you just said it doesn't hold up. Is there, because Tom, I'm large with Tom. I like Punk and Drublic, but, like, you're not catching me, like, repping for No Effects in a public setting very often. Yeah. I love The Decline. You know, I think it's a great thing. But I also am really kind of anti the whole 90s, like Fat Wreck, Epitaph, like sound.
Yeah.
Are we okay? It doesn't hold up. You're nodding at that. Are there any elements of it that do hold up or that are like, nah, you know what? People should check this out.
I don't think I would recommend any NoFX to someone that isn't already aware of what it is.
Yeah. Now
today.
Yeah. What about other stuff from that world? Like, what about Propagandhi? They kind of get the pass.
Propagandhi hard.
Okay.
Propagandhi, the outlier of the entire genre for me, because they evolved so many times throughout their existence. Whereas NoFX, I haven't listened to a new NoFX recording since 2000.
Right.
But I assume it still sounds the same. I think it's safe to assume that.
Yeah, you're not probably far off.
But Propagandhi is essentially a speed metal band at times, as well as having this 90s Fat Records sound at times also. Mm. I think that's it from this era that I would
actually suggest to anybody. Anyone.
Yeah. Don't listen to NoFX in 2021 unless it's for Axe to Grind.
Oh, see, that's a nice, nice push. Do you think that the average Drug Church listener could get anything out of listening to this song? Or is this more of a self-defense fan listen?
I feel like
don't forget, it could be an indecision listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an age thing. Is a Drug Church crowd our age, or are they all young people?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, I feel like all... You know, I know tons of people our age that are into it, yeah. Probably more so than self-defense. I think Drug Church people are aware.
I mean, I'll tell you.
Of NoFX.
We do clean up.
Y'all play the festivals. Yes. You've probably played a festival where they played The Decline.
I missed their set. But, but yes, there is no doubt that there's like a you know, I've talked about it. I really enjoy playing Punk Rock Bowling, so I say this with all the love in the world. There is this is my weekend. I'm going to be on cocaine for 36 hours straight, and then I'm going to go back. I'm going to drive overnight 12 hours to Idaho to go back to my job, making Caterpillar heavy equipment. That person loves Punk Rock Bowling. And they love NoFX, and they love Drug Church, and I'm happy to have them as a listener. So, yes, there is some crossover.
All right,
but I don't even think the plain person, NoFX, Fat Records, like older nerd hanging on to the 90s. I feel like even normal initiated hardcore like Drug Church fans still. I mean, maybe it's just me though, that because I came from this world. This is like the bridge from me to hardcore were these 90s Fat Records, Epitaph, you know, these bands.
This band, yeah, the scene, here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I think so too.
More than almost any band, you know, or like this, like subgenre.
I mean, it's weird to say this, but in the way that in the 80s, people were coming in through metal.
Right.
I think in the mid 90s, you had an influx from that Epitaph, Warped Tour, etc. scene that was just giant, you know?
Yeah.
Mike, anything else on NoFX, guys?
I'm good.
I can't wait till Pat gets the offer.
I'll take it. I don't got to like anything. I'll take it.
Oh man,
no!
You're gonna play some like punk and drubbing beer fest.
No, what if? But here's the thing: what if NoFX throws the curveball and it's like, yeah, the drummer's a huge Self Defense Family fan.
Listen,
and he wants to offer Self Defense. You're not doing it.
Yeah,
you're gonna do it. Yo, post COVID, Patrick. Damn.
No, listen. Self Defense will. Self Defense will play with legit anybody who the members can watch them night to night. And think that, oh, these guys are good players. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that seems to be the common denominator. I can get self-defense to do anything now if they could just go, like, Thrice. I don't know if there's self-defense members that are Thrice fans, but they all, like, know that Thrice can play. So they're like, oh, yeah, that's dope. You know what I mean? Because they just, they're almost like, Bob, do you remember the Agents of Apocalypse?
Of course.
So everybody, this is a comic book thing. They were the minions of Apocalypse, but they didn't really serve Apocalypse. They just served whoever the Apex was. So, like,
that's right.
Once
survival of the fittest.
Yeah, and once Apocalypse was no longer the G, they just turned on him instantly because it's not about you, dude. You know what I mean? And that's how self defense is with people that can play. If you can play, they're down with you.
All right. In honor of Mike Lawson joining us for the very first time. Long time. Mike, I wanted to ask if you have any questions for us, because you've always emailed in excellent questions.
Goofball questions. Fitting for the NoFX episode.
Exactly.
Pat loves them.
All right. I'll start.
This is a momentous occasion.
Guys, starting with Mike, what's the largest size rock you would eat?
I wouldn't.
A pebble.
I wouldn't want to fuck with anything bigger than a like an AirPod.
Right,
that's a decent sized rock, bro.
I think I can get
on that for hours.
Tom, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'd go like very tiny pebble.
Okay, yeah, all right, Patrick, you're choking and dying. This is an old standby of mine, but I'm going to flip it. What band would you rather be stuck on an island with? Led Zeppelin or the Beatles?
Led Zeppelin, for fucking sure.
Tom?
I'm going to say the Beatles.
Okay. Tom?
I'm going to say the Beatles.
All right. Tom, why the Beatles?
Well, I mean, I think maybe the Beatles before they like started doing acid.
Mm. Okay. So you're talking, you want Shea Stadium Beatles.
Yes, I want them like dressed up in suits and playing like "Baby, You Can Drive My Car."
Okay.
Not like, not that picture of John Lennon that I always send to the group chat of him walking around with that weird,
like Cokie the Clown.
Yes, yeah.
Mike, why did you pick the Beatles?
I want present day Beatles. I want old as hell Paul and Ringo.
Okay,
you
yeah,
know what? That's fine.
Who's the best? Who's the best fisherman of Paul and of old ass Paul and Ringo? Because you're on an island, you guys got to eat.
Paul's vegan, so he's not fishing.
That's right. So Ringo's fishing. Is Paul gonna make you some good like?
He's foraging
coconut meals. Yeah. What kind of?
Yeah, he's gonna make you some coconut that tastes like bacon and steak.
All right. And Patrick, why'd you pick Led Zeppelin? I mean, just cooler dudes.
Yeah, just infinitely cooler dudes.
Yeah, that's true. Even old ass. I think they might be.
I mean, look. We've talked about it on this podcast.
Nobody, Led Zeppelin.
Nobody's who you want them to be if they're 30 years older than you. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, if anybody that's 30 years older than you, there's going to be a sensibility gap, and you just have to be very honest about that fact. So, would they be cool? Probably not at all to me, but cooler than the fucking Beatles.
All right, question for all three of you as the last follow up on this question, but then I got more. Are you confident that in 2021 you could beat up every member of Led Zeppelin or the Beatles in a one-on-one fight?
Yeah.
Tom?
Could I take everybody?
Like one-on-one. It's not like a group.
Tom,
thing,
they're
you know?
80. You could rip through them. Are you kidding? You, right. do, you don't
yeah,
need
Tom,
to think
I'm,
about
I'm
it.
I'm picturing like, some straight-up like Baraka stuff where you pick them up and rip them up, like
yeah.
rip
and,
their
like,
torso
with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they won't hear me coming because they're all deaf.
I'll straight up, the two members of the Beatles, they can, same time.
You want them to team up.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'll give them
you weapons. Know that issue. You know that issue of Spider-Man where he takes on some bullies by playing them in a game of football with his arm tied behind his back? Is that what you want to throw out there?
No, because I'd like to punch them with both of my hands.
Mike, do you feel like you could take them?
I think both bands, same time, not stressed.
Just like a battle royale.
Yeah.
I feel like Robert Plant is like low-key still in shape, though.
No, I'll tell you, the only guy that I'm worried about is in terms of rockers, David Lee Roth still seems like a cocaine black belt. You know what I mean? So like,
oh, yeah, he'd kick your head off.
Yeah, I'm not.
If we're doing Zeppelin, is John Bonham's son involved in the fight?
No,
he's younger.
No. We're nixing him. He dies on the plane.
Okay.
To the island.
Is John Paul Jones still alive?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think Robert Plant might have a little bit of barrel chest to him.
And he's only 72, Pat. He ain't that much older than you.
I'm not not that much older than me. Yeah, John Paul Jones is still alive. I mean, look, there are 72-year-old men that I am scared of. Not many, but there are deaf. They exist. These are just not them.
What about like Jack Lane? He'd probably fuck you up.
He could.
Actually, I'm looking at John Paul Jones in what looks like a semi-recent photo. He looks like that motherfucker from Don't Breathe. So I'm really? A little scared of him. Yeah.
I'm looking at John
that
Paul
dude
Jones
shredded.
Right
the guy from Don't Breathe.
The dude from Don't Breathe is very shredded for an old man.
And I don't understand how there's a second one and somehow he's the good guy.
How corny is Hollywood? Always, that's like making the Saw guy the good guy.
So John Paul Jones, I can take him, but I'm a little nervous if there's drugs on the island.
He looks, I mean,
he's
coked like,
up.
Yeah.
Do you go for him first? Like, do you punch him first? Like, wait, do the dirt with him and then you can like.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you got to eliminate him first.
Bob,
you eliminate him first.
Look at his head in some of those photos. He looks ready for it. Like,
no, he had a weird time in the 90s, I bet.
Yeah.
Like he was like, yo, why wasn't I the Robert Plant and you know, like why wasn't he invited to the old party, you know? Like shit. All right. If you were what berry represents you as a human most?
Chuck.
Tom, what'd you say?
I said Chuck Berry. Oh. No,
Fruit berry. And why?
Blueberry is my favorite. It's just my favorite berry.
How does it represent you as a person?
I mean, it goes with everything. You
okay.
want to put it in a shake, it works. If you want to put it in a, you know.
Pretty smooth.
Yeah, if you want to like just hang out with it one-on-one, it's fun.
Yeah, but it can go to a party.
It in,
throw it
right,
in a pie.
With some kale.
Yeah, yo, and mixed berries, you know.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick.
I'm looking at 27 list. I'm looking at a list of 27 berries.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say, I would hate to be a huckleberry because then you'd have to have that line.
The huckleberry.
Said to you. Be a huckleberry?
Yeah, all the time. Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a lingonberry.
Okay.
Because it looks like one of those ones that you'd be like, I don't know, is it poisonous? You know?
You linger in the IKEA food section too long too?
I do.
I was hoping Pat was going to say dingle.
All right, Mike.
Dingle. I'm going raspberry.
You're going raspberry? Oh, why?
Squishy. Always rotten.
Wow. That's a fact. Always some mold on that shit.
The U.S. government just announced that they're replacing one piece of currency with your face instead of whatever whack-ass president's on there. What piece of currency do you want to be on?
20.
Okay. Tom?
Going for 100.
Ooh, prestige. Mike?
Rare. You know what I mean?
I'm bringing the $2 bill back.
Oh, you're going to get on that. Do you know they're still in circulation?
I like it.
Not actually rare money.
More out with my face.
There's been like a lot printed since 2008. It's kind of crazy.
I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Pat should be the Sacagawea dollar because people always look at it and go, this isn't real.
Yeah, that's true.
You ever try to use that as like actual currency? People go, What are you trying to pull?
Use it at the toll booths. I love it.
Oh, well, that's true. But like, usually, so if you were paying cash in a Metro card for Metro cards in New York, that's what you get back.
Yes.
And literally, people would be like, what are you trying to give me here?
Yeah, yes. If you leave New York.
Is this a European? Like, is this, you know, it's, yeah.
Where is the place? Where do you picture yourself when you your last moment on the planet? Where are you?
On the toilet.
Mike. Didn't know I was going to go morbid. Had to go shake it up.
No.
All right. While we wait for Mike, Tom.
In bed at home.
Oh, okay. Comfortable.
Bed.
Mike, you close your eyes. We'll work through it.
Closing.
Is this where we want to be, or where we?
I feel like I'm destined to. Like, if I die some boring ass way, I'm gonna be so pissed off. Like, I'm definitely saving children from a flaming building or something.
Okay,
it's very ambitious.
Are you like pushing one last child out, and then the flames engulf
right,
you?
The building collapses. Like, there's no way I go out in a boring ass old man death.
All right, be as specific as possible on this last question. You have one sandwich to eat. What is it? Where is it from? What are you drinking with it?
I don't have
a
favorite.
Deli in VB recently.
Hold on, Mike's starting. Mike, go. Ooh.
Yeah, please.
Cut, man. I found a deli in VB recently, Route 40 or Route 58. It's sick. The egg salad sandwich is like 10 inches high. I'm crushing that whole thing.
Wow.
And I'm washing it down with a Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at you with that Coke Zero. Patrick.
I don't have a location. I don't have a favorite sandwich necessarily. I
don't you make one up.
No, I mean, I can't even name. Okay, Subway. I'm at a Subway.
You're getting a couch at Subway. Okay.
Yeah, right.
You're getting tuna at Subway since it's not real tuna. And the bread is made out of yoga mat.
Honestly, my favorite sandwich all time is one I haven't had in 25 years, which is.
So go ahead.
Tuna. I'm not having it for my last meal, though.
Tuna.
What I'm having.
It's not your last meal. It's your last sandwich. You're just having a sandwich.
Like, what's your favorite sandwich?
Oh.
From a specific place.
Get on to the specific place. All right, fine.
Tuna that Rusty makes on an English muffin.
You know what? The Mr. Sub at the Four Corners. I'm getting a Italian mix with tater tots on top.
Damn, good pick with the potatoes on there. What are you drinking with it?
Well, is it limited to what's in that space?
It should be.
In 1990, when I would have had that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm drinking a fucking Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Then we're going with a Sprite, like, then nobody's changed the tubes, so you can taste the bacteria.
Yeah. The best kind. Tom, close us off strong after that wily pack.
That was just fucking terrible.
Jesus.
I'm going to go. Now, here's what I'm doing. I was going back and forth between two more local places, but I'm gonna go Chicken Cutlet Hero, like vegan Chicken Cutlet Hero from Crust and Crumble.
Ooh, good choice.
In Asbury.
Asbury Park, yep.
I'm gonna go with a cherry Coke to wash it down.
Nice.
My backup would also be I had an Italian sub from Blackbird in Philly.
Oh.
Went down there for Mind Force.
Yep.
Because they separated
there anymore.
Yeah, Blackbird doesn't serve pizza anymore.
Really?
What?
When we rolled up going down to the show,
yeah,
and it's like we do not serve pizza. I was like, is this like an April Fool's joke? They forgot to take down.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And when were you there? I guess they have another spot. Either it's called like 20th Street Pizza.
Yeah,
that's only the pizza. Like you can only go there for pizza.
Okay,
but the Blackbird that's near like Underground Arts and
the one that's been there forever. Yeah,
is only sandwiches.
Wow, amazing.
It's quite good.
Okay,
Italian sub, a nice Italian sub, tremendous.
Tom, when were you there?
July 3rd.
Hmm. All right.
Mind for it.
Mike, thank you for joining us. Any last words to the Axel Grind audience?
I got a goofy question. It's not that goofy, but it's bothering me all day.
Hit it.
So I bet a women's tennis match this morning.
Yes.
Okay.
And I found myself very frustrated with following the score. Why did they score so stupid?
Tennis?
It's
love. Yeah.
0, 15, 30, and 40? You can't even sequence properly?
The mysteries of the world, my friend.
Who invented tennis? What country? Where's the sequencing from?
Who invented tennis?
I'm feeling it's like the UK, but I think that could be wrong.
Yeah.
Why this sequence?
I'm going to say Macedonia.
Based on the metric system?
Yo, actually, Patrick, you're not far off. Well, no. You're not close either. 1873, Londoner Major Walter Wingfield invented a game he called spheristike, which is Greek for playing ball. Played on an hourglass-shaped court, Wingfield's game created a sensation in Europe, the U.S., and even China, and is the source from which tennis as we know it today evolved.
Let me hit him with some meme talk. Yes. Thanks, I hate it.
All right, that's it.